Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we give expert advice so you can have a better sex life. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com. While you're there, check out our complete podcast archive, sign up for our newsletter for a free weekly dose of erotic inspiration delivered straight to your inbox, and check out our online courses designed to help you master new erotic skills and become a more confident lover at your own pace in your own home. What could be better than that? Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of the online courses. This is episode 100.
It's amazing. I can't believe we're here already.
And we wanted to do something special for episode 100. And we realized we've been getting a lot of questions from you all about who we are and what brought us to this work and what it's like working together. And we realized that we've been so busy giving you all sex advice that we haven't really properly introduced ourselves.
Yeah, it seems a little silly that at episode 100 we should tell you who we are and why we're here and what we're doing, but we have just wanted to answer all your questions and stay focused on that, so we'll just tell you a little bit about us.
Right, we realized we do a lot of other interviews on other people's podcasts and media, and we end up telling them more about who we are than we've told you. How rude.
And you are our beloved, dear community, so...
Here we go. So we're going to spend today's episode first telling you a little bit about who we are as individuals and how we came to being sex educators, and then how we met, how we formed Pleasure Mechanics, and then what we've been doing since Pleasure Mechanics was born almost 8 years ago.
Wow.
Time flies.
And we will be revealing things that we have never revealed before.
It's true. It's going to be a bit of a tell-all episode, and then you're going to have the opportunity to tell us what you want to hear more about in future episodes, if anything piques your interest. All right, so I will start.
Yeah, let's start with you.
So my name is Chris. I grew up in Philadelphia with two sisters and a single mom, so we were this little pack of women. And I ended up being very sexually curious and promiscuous as a teenager, which I now realize was a result of having been sexually abused as a child. And I know this isn't the most fun note to start this podcast on, but it's important because I think it informs everything I do and is actually why I do this work. Because what I've realized is when you're sexually abused as a kid and your no is taken away before you even know what it is, then it's really easy for that cycle of abuse to continue. And that was my story, was a series of abuse and assaults through my teenage years and into college. And because I myself was struggling with sexuality and experiencing the more violent side of our sex culture, I ended up hearing from a lot of my friends and people I met about their sexual struggles. And it was through all of this conversation that I realized how many people were really struggling with sexuality while also being aware of how interesting sexuality was and how powerful it was in people's lives and how riled up people got when I talked about it as a young kid and as a teenager. And so sexuality took this huge role in my life as a guiding lens through which I saw the world. And so when I got to college at Vassar College in New York, not far from where we live now, I ended up dedicating my studies to sexuality and gender because I was so curious how we could shift sex culture into a more pleasurable and healthy and loving culture for us all, because I was really amazed at how many people I talked to who had been abused and assaulted, who were really struggling with sexuality, who had so many questions and hang-ups and shame and guilt. And this is what I saw all around me, and I dedicated myself to helping change that culture. And so in college, I came out as queer, I started dating women, I hung out with lots of gay men, I started exploring BDSM. I would take the train down to New York City and go to my first sex parties and BDSM parties. I started the porn magazine at college.
I love that you started that magazine with some other people, but at Vassar, and then the model was copied at many other colleges around the country, including Yale and Harvard. And
it's true. And the magazine allowed me to do lots of events. We did porn showings on campus and sex toy auctions, and I was doing tons of sex education for my peers. And meanwhile, all of my studies were focused around sexuality. So that was really my foundation. And through that work, I met Annie Sprinkle, who's a former porn star and sex artist and activist and an all-around amazing woman. And she invited me to come work with her out in San Francisco. And so after I graduated, I got in my car and drove solo cross-country, stopping, camping along the way. It was glorious. And ended up in San Francisco, where I was thrown into the world of all of my mentors and teachers, the who's who of sex education, Annie Sprinkle, Carol Queen, Joseph Kramer, and ended up getting my first job with this man called Joseph Kramer, who is kind of the grandfather of erotic massage. And he brought me in, and we started working on translating. This was back in 2003, so we were moving him from VHS to DVD, and eventually from DVD into online media. And through him, I got introduced to the body-based sex education, because in college, it was really all about information. It was about teaching my peers how to have healthy sex, how to use condoms, how to prevent pregnancy, how to use sex toys. I did lots of little sex toy instructions in my dorm room, but I never really fully experienced the body-based sex education that I fell into in San Francisco. And this was about how to maximize arousal, how to touch, how to breathe, how to move. It was all about the body. And this was a revelation to me because I had been a student my whole life. I had been in my head. And what I realized is that through the body-based sex education, that's where I started really doing a lot of healing from my sexual trauma. That's where I started waking up my body to the potential of pleasure. And so I got really interested in the body, and I ended up going to massage school, where I met Chester Maynard, who has since passed away, but who is this amazing massage teacher and the real pioneer of anal massage and prostate massage. And I studied with him and eventually started co-teaching with him, because what I realized is I was really good at massage. I went in with a lot of nervousness and anxiety and discovered that I had a natural gift for touch, which was a huge surprise. And I was an amazing teacher, and Chester and Joe recognized this and brought me in to teach with them at a very early age. And so in my very early 20s, I was teaching workshops of 10 and 20 people, all of who were much older than me. But I really loved being in that role of facilitating education and helping others learn these skills. And it was amazing.
They had brought you in. They were like, you need to teach. Come teach alongside us.
Yes. I started as a student, and then the next course I was co-teaching.
Because they recognized that you were an amazing teacher.
It's true. And meanwhile, I was living in San Francisco, and I was part of a polysexual, polyamorous BDSM community. And so every weekend I was going to sex parties and exploring BDSM. And I had this little tribe of lovers. Some were more serious relationships than others, but I was in it. I was in San Francisco and saturated with sexuality and seeing things that I had never expected to see in my entire life and experiencing amazing things and really looking at what the extreme edges of sexuality could look like. And there's no better place to do that than San Francisco, of course. And meanwhile, I continued to work with Joe, teaching and also working in his office. And right when I arrived, he was developing a new profession. He had gotten a certification passed through the state of California called Sexological Bodywork, which he started teaching at the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, which is the only graduate program in the country exclusively dedicated to the study of sexology. And I took the training first as a student and then started working with him to develop the training and develop the curriculum and started co-teaching with him. And so I co-taught for the first several programs for 3 or 4 years, a couple sessions a year. And this was a graduate level program in sexological bodywork. We'll tell you a little bit more about what that means in a minute. But in one of those programs, in walks Charlotte. And that's when we met. She was my student, I was her teacher, and I will let her tell you how she arrived at that program.
Do I say now or later that we really didn't talk during the class and it was many, many, many months later?
I took boundaries really seriously as a teacher.
Yeah. Well, months later I asked you out. But anyway, we'll get back to that later. So I had a totally, completely, massively different path that was much more fun and pleasurable. Sorry. I grew up in Hong Kong for the first 12 years of my life, which was fascinating and brilliant.
And traveled the world a lot as a kid.
Yes, that was really a beautiful experience of experiencing otherness, that there's no right way of doing anything. There's 10,000 ways of eating breakfast, so there's no right way of living. That was kind of the basic piece of what I learned, I think, as a kid. And then we moved to London, and I was there for my teenage years, and I just partied. I went dancing. I was clubbing for my teenage life, and I would just dance all night long, and then I would bicycle home. I'd put my little high heels over my bicycle handles and just bike through London at all hours of the morning, and I just loved it. It was so much adventure, just so much joy. I had a ball.
Well, I think that's interesting, too, is you weren't doing a lot of drinking or drugs. You were just dancing.
I would just dance all night long. Yeah. I'd close my eyes and figure out these, like, great dance moves. So I'd, like, elbow men out of the way that were being shady. And I would just dance. And I would just dance. That sounds like I'm doing, like, chicken dances, but it wasn't quite like that. But anyway, it was amazing and joyful. And my first experience of trance, actually, that then served me later in life. I was incredibly sexually curious, but I was at girls' school, which kind of reined me in, which I think is part of the idea. So I really wanted to experience more. And so I thought I'd come to America, the great holy land of sexual possibility, which has served me well, actually. So I came to the States to go to college, and I went to Wesleyan in Connecticut, Wesleyan University, which was fabulous. And I had an amazing time and loved it there and definitely had sexual adventures. And for me, there was a lot of joy and ease and exploration in my sexuality from the beginning. I didn't do any organizing like Chris did at college. I just had fun. I was a student athlete. I had lots of sex and had a long-term boyfriend, which was just lovely. After college, I wanted to do work that was of service. I mean, that had been a theme throughout my life. All the work that I had done had been working with old people, working with kids, working with at-risk youth in group homes. Like, I love helping people. So I went after college and did a bunch of years doing that kind of work, but I found it so draining. And I really wanted to find work where I felt of service, but I felt enlivened by my work. And because I had always loved touch and feel like it's incredibly valuable and important in people's lives, in my early 20s, I became a massage therapist, which I adored. But then it was a short jaunt from there to becoming an erotic.
And this is in the Bay Area.
This is in the Bay Area.
Which I think is fascinating that at the same time we were both in San Francisco going to massage school, exploring sexuality, but hadn't met yet.
It's true. So there was a short jaunt from my lovely career as a massage therapist to becoming an erotic masseuse.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
And this is something you've never spoken about before.
I mean, it clearly informs all of the work that we do.
So tell us what an erotic masseuse is.
Okay. Many people do erotic massage in different ways. The way that I did erotic massage was men would come, we would both get naked, he would lie on the table, and I would give him a full body massage, followed by an extended... This is where it gets erotic. An extended massage of the penis, which some may call a hand job. And I feel like when we think about happy endings, it's a really sort of juvenile, quick
jerk off
that's very efficient and
That's not what you did.
Yeah, that was not what I did. It was this really luxurious experience of pleasuring a body in as much ways as possible, just with my hands and just one way touch, I should add. So I was just touching them. They were not touching me. So I learned a lot about holding sexual boundaries, because I get that when people hear that, they're like, yeah, right. But that was how it went. And that was, I held those boundaries, and that was a lot of learning.
And I want to say here, there's so much more to this story. And if you want to hear more, email us, go to pleasuremechanics.com and let us know if you want to hear more about this. But I do want to say, you learned erotic massage from the DVDs I was producing with Joe. So that's actually when our paths first crossed.
Well, can I say more about that?
Yeah.
So when I got this job, as I said, there's more to the story, of course, of how I leapt from massage to erotic massage, but I'll save that for another time if you care to hear more about that. But I had never given a hand job before. I'd been in a long-term relationship with men, but I always thought, I'm here, let's do something more fun. You can do that on your own. You'll take care of that better. So I had absolutely no idea how to give a hand job. So when I first got the job, I went to my local sex store. I got out all the DVDs that would have been relevant. And I went home, and I love multicolored marker pens. And so I got this massive piece of paper. I watched them and I took notes with diagrams. And then I consolidated them all down to index cards with diagrams, so that right before my sessions, I could refresh my memory. I am such a dork.
I love it. But I love that that's where our paths first crossed.
Right, and so those DVDs were ones that Chris had sent to the sex store. And here I also began really exploring prostate massage and gave so many men their first prostate massage.
Because guys started to request it?
Yeah, they started to request it. So of course I went back, got more DVDs and took away more notes. Because learning about sexuality is a fabulous thing to do. And I loved that. I felt like just seeing the pleasure and the joy that men were experiencing on my table was just incredible. And it was new for men. It was taking them to levels of pleasure that they did not know existed. Mm-hmm. And that was an awesome experience. I cannot tell you the number of times I heard, this is better than sex. It was so many times, and I think it's really about just taking the time to really lavish men's body in pleasure and touch. We're so used to thinking about men's pleasure as quick, and they can come easily, so you just kind of give it to them and then they're done. But when we really take a full hour, for instance,
right,
massage all of their body, then spend as much time as possible bringing them close to orgasm, moving away, back and forth, raising their level of erotic charge, and then letting them come when you're ready, it creates incredible results for them. So I did this for several years. I touched over 1,000 men, which is quite a lot when I realized that. I, of course, developed a massive set of skills.
Right. I knew a lot of people doing erotic massage, and you were by far the most successful, had the most regulars, people who came back to you, people who flew across the country to see you, let's be real, because you focused so much on that experience of creating arousal and didn't play a lot of the games a lot of other people did and didn't draw attention to your body. Like, you were there naked, but completely in service to their pleasure and giving amazing touch.
Well, thank you.
My highly talented wife.
Well, thank you. So, of course, I love people and I'm incredibly curious. So I would ask people, especially when they became regulars, why they were there.
Yeah.
I was just sort of curious.
The sociologist in you.
Totally. I was like, why are you here? And that's part of what I loved about the work. It was this very intimate space.
People trusted you and opened up to you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I would ask people why they were coming. And the story that I heard again and again and again was really married men who loved their wives and family, like loved them. But often after having kids, their wives became totally uninterested. They were just too tired and not interested in sex. And the men found that they needed touch, but they wanted to stay loyal to their partners. And so this, for them, in their justification, was a way to get their touch needs met without having an affair, because it was impersonal and efficient. And I totally get that people can have a whole world of responses to that. But that was the story that I heard again. And it was really out of men's loyalty to their family that they wanted to use this kind of service. Mm-hmm. So over the years, I just couldn't stop thinking about the women. All of these women were in touchless, sexless relationships out of just exhaustion.
And you know they're not going to erotic massage.
Right, maybe some of them are going to get mani-pedis.
Right.
Maybe, and that's like the extent of their self-care touch. And that just broke my heart. And it also really paralleled my parents' experience. My mum was a super mum, always kind of taking care of my brothers and I really, really wonderfully. But I saw my parents' relationship sort of drift. They didn't take care of each other until they got divorced. So I really understood at an intimate level what that looked like for the women. And I just feel like there has to be another way. So I got really curious about how could I be of service to relationships? How could couples stay together, have an interesting, loving sex life? I was seeing the value of what massage could do in bodies. I was interested in body-based sex education. How do we work with that within couples? So I went and found out about this graduate level sexology course.
Just through searching online, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In between clients. And went and signed up for the course. I was so excited because I wanted to find a more sustainable way to serve couples in loving one another more fully. Because I feel like that's really where happiness happens, I think.
Happiness happens
in relationships. Mm. Like if you have a happy relationship, you have a happier life. Mm. And sex is part of that. And so I wanted to serve people in that way. So I signed up for the sexological bodywork class and went to it.
And Charlotte walked in, and I have beautiful memories of that first moment of seeing her now, but we had this intensive course together, and what the course focuses on, the intention was to create a profession to do hands-on sex education. So to certify people to be able to guide others in learning about their sexuality, learning about arousal, experiencing erotic massage, learning new sexual skills in a one-way touch, hands-on, professional situation. And I developed the curriculum with Joe and taught it and really loved what the profession was all about. And having Charlotte in the course, I definitely noticed her quality of touch above all the other students. She was able to go into this amazing trance-like state and give just incredible touch. And we noticed each other and we chatted a bit, but it wasn't until months later that she called me up and asked me out on a date. The sexological bodywork, it's now being taught in over 10 countries all around the world. And I was crucial in the formation of the profession and wrote the curriculum, but eventually, and I guess it was when Charlotte and I got together and we started talking about, we were both doing different versions of this work. I was teaching classes and workshops and also offering one-on-one sessions, primarily with female victims of sexual abuse. And I would do these massive 4-hour long healing sessions that were just really intense and
amazing for the people. I mean,
we had amazing results. And I think this was what we started talking about, is in both of our work, we were seeing just the incredible results of these techniques. What quality touch and presence and breath could create in individuals, men and women alike. And we started talking and just realizing that there was no way we could reach the number of people we wanted to reach if we continued to work one-on-one or even in small workshops. And meanwhile, I was really fascinated with the emerging technology of web video. So this is back in 2006. Web video was just getting started. YouTube was just getting started. Like, do you remember those days before we had video everywhere? And I realized that if we could use online video to teach these skills to couples in their own homes, we could not only reach a bigger number of people, we could reach people all around the world and in places that we would never be able to get to with a workshop, in rural areas, in more conservative areas. Because San Francisco, where we could offer nude hands-on workshops, is a very particular place. And so we started having these conversations. And 3 months into our relationship, we decided to start a business together with this goal in mind. And so I left the profession of sexological bodywork and stopped teaching. And we set out to start a business together 3 months into dating. Who does that? We do.
Well, it wasn't just about the number of people that we could reach. We really felt like teaching people to be able to offer the kind of touch that we knew was possible within relationships was what we wanted to commit our lives to.
Right.
We were clear that one-on-one sessions with a professional could create incredible results, but we didn't feel like that necessarily served long-term relationships.
Exactly.
And so that was a break for us from the sexological bodywork. We let that path go.
Right. We wanted to bring the techniques and strategies we used as professionals in our one-on-one sessions and in our workshops to couples so they could learn in the privacy of their own home. And I think that is the essential piece. So we sat down and we started brainstorming business names. And our first project we decided was going to be around prostate massage because Charlotte had seen the amazing results of prostate massage in her work. I had been co-teaching with Chester Maynard, who was one of the pioneers of erotic prostate massage. And meanwhile, in the Sexological Bodywork program, we had had a visiting lecture from Dr. Jack Moran, who's an amazing sex therapist, just died recently. And he was talking about how prostate massage could not only be an amazing erotic experience, but it was being recommended by more and more doctors to keep the prostate gland healthy. And prostate cancer is one of the leading causes of death in men. And we just saw this opportunity. This creates so much arousal, the best sexual experiences men have ever had, and it's healthy for them. Men all around the world need to know about this. And so our first project together was creating an online video guide to prostate massage. And so the name Pleasure Mechanics, where did that come from?
So we were sitting in a coffee shop in Berkeley.
I can see it so clearly. I know exactly where we were in Berkeley, California.
Yeah. And across the way was a mechanic shop. And we were talking about how so many men know more about the insides and the mechanics of a car than they do about their own body. And we wanted to teach how to bring so much pleasure to their body
through practical strategies. Just like a mechanic can tune up your car and you can get a smoother ride and you know how to put the key in the ignition. Like, we wanted men to know all of these practical strategies to access more pleasure. And so I think somewhere in that conversation, I don't even know who said it, you or me. Charlotte saying it was her. We just threw out pleasure mechanics. And I was thinking about mechanics and all of the things they do. And in this really understated way, mechanics are there to help you tune up your car, get it running properly, make sure you have a smooth and safe ride. And we wanted to be the mechanics for your sex life. We wanted to help you tune up your sex life so you could turn on to more pleasure, right? We wanted to help you create a spark in your sexual engine. We wanted to lubricate your sex life with knowledge and skills. The metaphors go on and on. And we've actually been pretty restrained in how many mechanics metaphors we have. But the idea was to be really practical and down to earth and effective so you could enjoy the ride of your sex life.
So you could maximize your erotic potential.
Indeed.
Yeah. I think we've stayed true to it. And when we teach in person, we wear mechanics uniforms. I don't know if you've been to our website, but you can see photos of us in our mechanics uniforms because we are the Pleasure
on
Mechanics.
On the About Us page.
And we've had a good chuckle with that.
And we love it. And this has been 8 years now. We started with the prostate course and put that up. And then we realized that this isn't just for men. We have a lot to teach about women's pleasure too. And so we started building our courses from there. Meanwhile, we were in San Francisco and we were looking around us and we were teaching workshops. And I remember we taught a prostate massage workshop and it was on the front page of the big independent newspaper. And we were so excited about that. But we realized that we wanted to reach people all around the world and all around the country. And to do that, we had to leave San Francisco. We had to get out of this sex culture bubble where a prostate massage workshop was no big deal and it could be run in the newspaper like just another thing to do on your Thursday night. We wanted to reach and understand the sexual struggles of more kinds of people, of a wider audience. So we, overnight, I think it was like a 48-hour decision, we looked at each other and we're like, let's get the hell out of here. Let's get on the road and start meeting people. So we sold 98% of our belongings.
We ordered 400 books.
And so much other stuff.
Yeah.
We ended up just giving stuff away. We packed our little Toyota Camry and we hit the road. We left.
And we drove cross country 5 times and then up and down each coast about 5 times.
Yeah.
It was amazing. We took 9 months at least on the road.
And then settled down for a while and then hit the road for another 3 months. And we spent a few years doing a lot of this traveling in the car, going from town to town. We taught sex workshops coast to coast and also just talked to people that we met. And when we introduced ourselves and told them what we did, people opened up to us because so many people want to talk about their sex lives and they don't have a safe place to do it. And so in the most random places, diners, hotel lobbies, bars, cowboy clubs in Nashville, we ended up talking about sex with people and hearing what they're going through, hearing what they're struggling with, hearing what they want, and just getting a sense of how people are living. You know, when that car died, it had over 350,000 miles on it, and we have nothing but amazing memories of being in that car together, young and in love, and meanwhile running our online sex business from the road. And so we'd get on Wi-Fi wherever we could and continue to build our online presence as we were traveling and learning and teaching.
It was beautiful. Ah, youth.
And so eventually we settled down. We lived for a while in Durham, North Carolina on 10 acres of land to pursue our fantasy of farming because, you know, we wanted to be farmers and sex educators. And realized that that was not our calling, that we wanted to focus all of our time on sex education. And
though we do love being outside and having a small garden could satisfy that desire.
Yes. And then we moved to New York State a couple years ago, and here we are now, and we now have a baby daughter who's amazing. And so we're now in the practice of balancing being new moms with being sex educators. And I think this is a really interesting frontier for us because we are now experiencing what we heard from so many people about how to balance sex life and family life and a relationship and being co-parents. And we're now in the thick of it. And so we'll have a lot more to teach in the coming years about that. But meanwhile, PleasureMechanics.com has grown. We started this podcast. We're now on episode 100. Here we are. And we have this amazing global community of fellow pleasure seekers who are joining us and enrolling in our online courses to learn about sexuality, to learn new sexual techniques, to master sexual confidence. And we get these amazing emails every day from you all about how these techniques are changing your sex life, opening up new frontiers of pleasure, and changing your relationships and saving marriages and creating whole new chapters of eroticism within long-term relationships. And nothing makes us happier than getting these emails and testimonials from you all, because this is what we set out to do 8 years ago. It wasn't easy building a business from scratch, figuring it out as we went along. But we are so happy when we get emails from you telling us how these techniques have created more pleasure in your life.
We are just absolutely thrilled when we hear that our work is making a difference for you in your life.
It's why we do what we do.
It's such a joy. So yes. Thank you.
And keep those emails coming. If you have had experiences with our techniques, with our online courses, please, please share them with us. Email them and let us know what's going on for you. And so in a few episodes ago, we asked you to submit questions that you had for us. And we got a bunch of questions, and there were 3 questions that emerged again and again. And so we're going to give quick answers to them. And hopefully this will help you make more sense of who we are and what we do. So the first question that came in, and I think Charlotte addressed this a little bit in her story, is something along the line of, aren't you lesbians? You're in a relationship together. How do you know anything about male sexuality?
So I hope that we answered that sort of by telling our stories. First of all, neither of us really identify as lesbians, but that's a whole other subject. But I've touched over 1,000 men and gained a lot of information about men's erections, arousal, orgasms, and sexuality, as well as having relationships with men and learning more in through graduate level training.
Right. And meanwhile, I've done tons of coaching with men, hands-on and over Skype. And I've also been in relationships with men. So both of us have slept with lots of men. We both were a little bit promiscuous in our early years and gained tons of sexual knowledge in our 20s that we now bring to you. But yes, through personal experience and through coaching and workshops and studying and really going in depth in our research about male sexuality, we feel very confident that we understand male sexuality. We talk to men all the time about their sexual experiences. And we ask men to experiment for us and report back. And that's how we get all of our knowledge to share with you about male sexuality. So that's that. So yes, we are in a relationship together, but our experience goes far beyond that. The other question people wanted to know is if we are in an open relationship. We mostly on this podcast talk about options for monogamy and long-term relationships. And that's because that's where we are now. Before I met Charlotte, I didn't think I would ever be in a monogamous relationship again. As I said, I was going to sex parties every weekend and having lots of sexual experiences with lots of different kinds of people. I was in another long-term relationship that was open, and he and I would share lovers of all stripes and threesomes and foursomes and moresomes. And I thought that was the best. And then I met Charlotte, and within a couple weeks, I was looking at her and thinking, I don't have time for anyone else. I have no interest in anyone else. I want to be devoted to you. And I didn't know how long that would last, but I called up all my lovers and told them that I was no longer available and devoted myself to being in a monogamous relationship with Charlotte.
Thanks. I don't think I required that.
No, you didn't ask.
Yeah, that was
just how we felt.
Right. And we've experimented since then with having open relationships for moments and just really felt like we wanted to be together and explore life in this way. We don't know what will happen in our 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
We're open to some wild and crazy 50s and 60s ahead. But for right now, and especially with raising a daughter, for right now, this is what we want.
Yeah, and how we think about devotion is not that we own one another, not that we are in possession of one another's sexualities, but that it's a daily choice, and we remind each other of that all the time. I still choose you to devote my entire, not only sexuality to, but my life, my love, my time, my attention. Because I don't think sexual energy is what's scarce in this world. I think it's really about time and focus of attention. And at this phase in our life, running a business together, having a family, we don't want the distractions of taking on other lovers just for the thrill of it. And this is partly because we've done that in our past. We know what's out there. We know what we're committing to, and we're choosing it. And I think it's really important for our teachings to focus on long-term relationships and creating hot, healthy, fun, satisfying sex lives with one person over many years. Because the truth is, that's what most people are doing. And so we're with you in that. We're with you in all of the beauty of that and the struggle of that. And that's where we teach from, is how to cultivate sexuality with one person over time. But if you're in a poly relationship, if you're in an open relationship, we support you too. And we have no judgment about it. It's just a matter of personal choice and making sure your choices align with your lifestyle and how you want to be living. So here we are in a relationship together, for now, hopelessly devoted. Isn't there a song? Hopelessly devoted. We should not sing.
No.
It is from Greece, and we should not sing on this podcast.
Okay. In people's earphones, yeah.
And the third question we get a lot is what it's like to work together, what it's like to be in a relationship and spending all day, every day, working side by side, and especially working around the themes of sex and love.
And we call it our pleasure laboratory. We are constantly living what we're teaching, learning from it. One of the amazing things about working together is you have to get through all of the annoyances, right? You have to get through all of the like details of being with another person so that you can optimize it and make it awesome. So we're in the trenches, doing the work, living it, and trying to teach from here. So
I think the other beautiful thing about it is we're learning together all the time. We're exploring new ideas together. And this is one of the things we recommend for relationships is if you're wanting novelty and newness and excitement, learn something together, learn a new skill and get vulnerable together. And that's what our business is all the time, is learning side by side, stretching ourselves, doing new projects. Like, okay, we want to start a podcast. How do we do that? And we have to learn together. And so whether or not you run a business with your lover, I think it's a good takeaway to do a project together, build something, learn a new skill, do something outside of your comfort zone where you're both newbies, because that process of learning together can really bring you close. And I think that's what we've experienced.
And that it's inevitable that there are frustrations and annoyances, and that is also part of a relationship, but figuring out how to navigate them and how to move through them is essential in creating more joy and more pleasure. There's nothing wrong with your relationship if you're encountering frustrations or annoyances. It is just part of the path, and figuring out how to most efficiently and pleasurably get through them is part of having a long-term relationship.
Yeah. My mom always says, "Don't you get sick of each other?" And it's like, no, we love spending so much time together, and we love being on this path together, and really feel like we were brought together to do this work. And whatever you think about destiny or fate, when Charlotte and I met, I had a very deep sense that we were meant to do something together. And here we are, and we're committing ourselves to continuing on this path and continuing to learn and research and bring you all of the best strategies for not only a happy sex life, but a happy relationship. And this is part of how we're continuing to grow and expand in the coming years. Is so far we have focused really on sexual techniques and the practical hands-on ways of being a better lover and being more sexual confident. And our online courses up to this point really focus on those physical skills. Couples massage, which we think every couple should learn. It's an amazing addition to your sex life. Our Foreplay Mastery course teaches everything from seduction and initiation to all of the erotic massage techniques for both men and women.
And of course, that's informed by all of the erotic massage that I gave and all of the work that you've done. So if you're interested in those experiences,
you can learn how to have them with your lover at home. And we teach prostate massage and anal for women and erotic spanking. And our new courses that are in the pipeline that we're so excited to share with you start to expand beyond the physical techniques into the attitudes and the behaviors and the lifestyle of a happy, healthy sexual relationship, and how to be loving over time, how to communicate, how to live a lifestyle of pleasure. So as we're moving into this next phase of our life, we are continuing to expand pleasure mechanics into the realms of happy relationships beyond the bedroom, because of course they inform one another. You can't have an amazing sex life, no matter how good your skills, if your relationship is not happy and thriving. So that is part of what we're going to be bringing to you, along with some very kinky courses. Our kinkiest yet is coming up, so don't worry, we're going to stay a little bit naughty as we get into happy relationships as well. And all of those details will be revealed to you on future episodes.
But remember, if you want to stay abreast of everything that we're up to, please feel free to come over to pleasuremechanics.com and join our newsletter and check out us in our mechanics uniforms.
And if there's anything we've talked about on this podcast, because it was a bit of a whirlwind, that you want to hear more about, we are happy to share more about our own lives and our own experiences, or any topics that piqued your interest, whether that's recovering from sexual trauma or how Charlotte became an erotic masseuse, to what it's like to receive a prostate massage. Anything that you want to know more about, just let us know, and we will be sure to share more details in the future. This has been episode 100 of the Speaking of Sex podcast with the Pleasure Mechanics. Thank you for being part of the journey. We really appreciate you being part of our global community. And if you like what we're doing, please go to iTunes and leave a rating and review. It really helps us reach more people so we can continue to build a more pleasurable world together. And you can get there by going to pleasuremechanics.com, hitting the podcast page, and looking for that link to the iTunes page where you can leave us a review. That is the best gift you can give to us to celebrate our 100th episode. I want balloons, confetti.
We can get them.
All right. Again, thank you. We will be back again with episode 101 as we continue to explore all facets of sexuality and pleasure and living a happy, fulfilling life.
A happy, fulfilling, sexy, pleasurable life.
Indeed. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you for being part of our world. We really love doing what we do, and that is serving you. That is our highest mission, is to help serve you and serve your relationship so that you have a more fabulous relationship. So thanks for letting us do that. We really appreciate it.
And your support in enrolling in courses is what makes that possible. So thank you. Thank you. And we look forward to seeing you over at pleasuremechanics.com. You can always be in touch with us. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.